What's up? It's Kareem Kweli from San Pablo, Burgos in Spain, and you're tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Gareth Murray, player coach from the Glasgow Rocks. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Andy Thompson. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Anthony Rowe, and you're now tuned in to the BBL
this
Show.
This is Mike Tuck from the Sheffield Sharks. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
Yo, 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 what's going on? It's Kofi Josephs, and you're listening to the BBL Show.
This is Ashley Hamilton, a.k.a. AGP of the Plymouth Raiders, and you are now tuned into the BBL Show.
And now your hosts, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker.
Welcome to episode 14 of the BBL Show. I'm Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm busy, man. I literally went to London on Friday night, covered the game, came back to Newcastle, traveled up to Manchester today, and it's 11:30 p.m. I just got home, and I'm in a seat with you, but there's no place I'd rather be, my man. What's good, boy?
That's right. We're finishing the weekend in style. It's Sunday night, another great week of BBL action. Under our belts, we welcome Leicester Riders floor general Gino Crandell. Yes, he showed up. This will include some serious Christmas cheer as I strike again with my top five game. This week, we go all-time Christmas movies. We turn our focus to the Sky Sports Friday night explosion in the capital as London Lions hosted the Plymouth Raiders. We give the week scores and scorers with a focus on this afternoon's giant killing by the Glasgow Rocks. We give you Player of the Week contenders. The Lasker look back has a Riders flavour to it. And first, back as the opening act, rightly so, the Marriott Minute. Intrigued me, the London Lions were prickly this week, including our usually jovial coach Vince, particularly around the misunderstanding of an Insta story by DeAndre Liggins, an aeroplane emoji followed by the peace fingers. It set social media alight, leading to the camp calling everyone haters. A play to motivate themselves for the Big Sky Sports game, or signs of cracking under the pressure? I'll let you decide. We may not get the answers from inside the camp because, according to Kevin Ware, he doesn't talk to pawns. Engage me. Shout out to Niall Gray. No good at nicknames, but certainly a hell of a commentator, and also showing some media flair with a YouTube video of bloopers cleverly called It'll Be All Right on the Mic. Go and find it and give it a watch. Very funny. Amused me. Kieran Achara gets in here a second week as his troll game is warming up. Having a little fun with friend Teo for getting dunked on Saturday, then going after the Bristol Flyers account, who said about getting a Del Pest jersey with a cheeky I'll take a Kipper Nichols one. And finally, even I can't escape the Scotsman's wit as Raiders fall to a bad one against the Rocks. But clearly, I played my part in signing Coach Murray all those years ago, helping him to adjust to the Pavilion's tight rims, resulting in two dagger threes that basically gave Rocks the win. You're welcome, Glasgow. And that rounds out this week's Marriott Minute. Okay, game of the week, Friday night Sky Sports game. Mr. Lasker back on the comms. I must say our good friend Anthony Rowe coming in strong with the Ron Burgundy polo neck. Talk me through your take on London Lions versus Plymouth Raiders.
Yeah, a real gutsy performance by the London Lions. And we got an opportunity to kind of see glimpses of everything we've been asking for, the expectations coming into this season. On the defensive end, we got a glimpse of that during this game. And, you know, this game started off really slow for London. And I look up at the scoreboard and I'm shocked because Plymouth goes up double digits in the first quarter. And then in the second quarter, London just totally, like something just clicked and the intensity totally changed for them. Now, I don't know if that's because the 7-7 crew was their front row And those that don't know, the 7-7 crew is obviously the money men for the London Lions. Or if it was that, you know, London, they couldn't afford to go down 0-2 in league play. And the game totally switched with their best player, player of the month, DeAndre Liggins, hitting back-to-back-to-back threes. And what that did was is it sparked the London Lions on the defensive end. And the intensity totally went up as they began to pressure Plymouth and take advantage of that lack of depth from the point guard position. We kind of talked about it on previous episodes that when LVC Dusha isn't on the point, the Plymouth Raiders look like a totally different team. And even Dusha kind of looked a little bit out of character. You know, he's always such a poised, savvy point guard, but that pressure from the London Lions kind of sped him up a little bit. And I think the mistake that Plymouth did is they tried to out-dribble that press, and it got them in trouble. And ultimately, it allowed London to get back in that game. And Liggins and Parker had a quiet, efficient game. And you can see with Orlando Parker that he's beginning to get his legs because he's starting to fit into what they need. They needed that stretch four. They haven't been getting it from Shane Walker. And Orlando has really been able to step up. But more importantly, they got a big bounce back game from Kevin Ware. After putting up a donut against the Newcastle Eagles the week before, you know how it is, Jay. Like, you score 0 points, that sticks with you all week. So he came into the game in go mode from the jump. And even though his numbers weren't efficient, but it was his aggressiveness which helped London and obviously gave them that bench spark. But overall, it was a much needed good win for London. And again, we were able to see what this team is capable of. Now the question is can they do it for 40 minutes?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if I touch on Plymouth, one of the things that jumped out to me was just Hamilton came to play. He was more aggressive from the start than we have seen him all season. He showed why he is such a big star in this league. And obviously, it was the capital, his hometown. He was going to want to show out. And he really, really wanted to beat the Lions. For me, Lions played two quarters of the most stifling defense I think I've ever seen in this league. But credit to the Raiders for fighting back. I said, win or lose, that move there, that's a big positive that will pay dividends down the line. For me, somebody on the team needs to join Hamilton and provide a scoring mate for him. There are contenders. Will Neighbor, real talent, but has disappeared for a while now. Concerning. Prince Ibe, so raw offensively. Needs to stop posting up and go get everything that he needs off the rim or catch and dunk. Not showing enough right now for me. And then Chris Porter-Bunting, a solid import. Great defender, shows a lot of heart. He had a great first quarter, but then faded badly. The Plymouth Raiders, they have their Batman, but right now there is no sign of Robin. And that, for me, is concerning for them moving forward and even us moving forward on this show as we're about to converse about later on.
If I switch over to the micro, looking into these stats for the London Lions, and there's a couple of stats that stick out. More importantly, I talked about Orlando Parker starting to get his legs, and it's paying dividends for London Lions because, you know, we keep asking a question, or you keep asking the question, where's Mullins? And there hasn't been a statement put out by the London Lions, but Mullins would fit that team perfectly because they missed that stretch four who can stretch the defense out and hit that three ball. But Orlando Parker is looking like a great candidate to fill in temporarily or full time. You know, that remains to be seen. But Orlando Parker was 8-for-13 for an efficient 22 points. And then again, I talked about Kevin Ware was aggressive. The numbers weren't efficient, but there were 17 points off the bench, which was 17 more than he scored the week before with the Newcastle Eagles. Like we keep talking about, game recognized game, and the London Lions have realized that their guy is the BBL Player of the Month, MVP, DeAndre Liggins, as he had an efficient 19 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, and of course, as you called him, the octopus, he had 4 steals. You know, which if I look at Ware and Liggins, they both scored a combined 36 points, which the week before against the Newcastle Eagles, they scored a combined 7 points. So for me, that was the difference. But if I look at one team stat that stood out, it was the assists. The London Lions, can you believe this, Jay? They had 29 team assists. So
sharing the ball, baby.
You know, you talked about this, that, you know, they've been playing as individuals. And we see that in this game, it just does not work. Like, no matter what type of talent you have, you know, team ball will always prevail. And so for London Lions to have 29 team assists, you know, that is very promising for the London Lions.
Yeah, for sure. And if I go into the Plymouth Micro, obviously Hamilton's stat line shines out: 31 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 28 index. But for me, there was just one stat you needed to look at, and that was more about, I think, the Lions just turning the switch than it was about the Raiders. 23 turnovers under the pressure of that Lions defense. And then, obviously, for me, just not enough points from the supporting cast. You've got Hamilton on 31 and then Porter Bunnan on 12. Everybody else below that, that's just not going to be enough to get it done against the top teams. You know, if you look at the top three teams, definitely not enough. So if they want to contend, they're going to have to address that, whether it be internally or externally. The only thing for me, just lastly on the London side of things, is, you know, I know that Vince is playing the long game right now with those substitutions, but towards the end of the game, you know, as great as it was for Plymouth to pull themselves in the game, I think it was a bit a 50-50 situation where, you know, perhaps Vince's resting those guys towards the end almost cost him and almost let them back in the game. And you can argue at the end of the game, when Dusha came off that pick and roll with Hamilton, had he gone to the hot hand instead of, he just could not resist seeing that big old 6'10 dude in there, just big, wide open, but he can't catch. If he'd have gone to Hamilton, what would have been? Would that game have been even more exciting? I'm not sure. Okay, let's finish off with a quick run through of the scores. If we catch up all the way back from Monday, so if you remember that we wouldn't have been able to catch that in the last pod. So the last cup game was Ryder Sharks. Sharks taking this one 61-87. Top scorer Anton Lillard with 19. Riders played their younger cast there, maybe a little tactical and also trying to get those guys experience. Wolves Giants. Wolves took this one 84-76 with Martin Bountneck with a huge 29 points. We just talked about the Lions and the Raiders. 101-95, Ashley Hamilton with 31. Riders versus Sharks. This time, Riders taking revenge with a 74-64 win. Jeremy Hemsley with 20 points. We had Surrey Scorchers versus Cheshire Phoenix. Scorchers taking a much-needed win, 74-70. Caron Ross, top scorer with 18 points. Flyers versus Rocks. Flyers putting the smack down, 96-54. Marcus Delpech with 32 points. Raiders versus Rocks, the shock. Rocks taking this one, 61-63, with coach Gareth Murray leading the way with 21 points. Sharks, Flyers. Sharks took this one 87-62 with Anton Lillard going off for 19 points. Phoenix versus Lions. Lions taking this one 99-110. Orlando Parker coming through with 25 points. And then finishing off with Giants versus Drew's Eagles. Eagles taking this one 84-98 with Justin Gordon showing up for 28 points. That rounds out our review of games. We always look for the talking points of the week, and boy, did we find it today. Plymouth losing at home to Glasgow. Wow. Drew, discuss.
I did not know the result of this game until after my game, and I get a message from you saying Plymouth lost. And my first initial reaction was shock. I had an opportunity to watch the first quarter, and man, this game was ugly. I mean, both teams looked like they couldn't be bothered. You know, actually, both teams looked like that the schedule that we've been talking about this year, this condensed schedule, it looked like it affected both of them, with Glasgow traveling the night before, and then obviously Plymouth having to make that trip Friday from London, you know, probably getting back to Plymouth at 3 or 4 in the morning. But, you know, after I got the results from you, I looked on the Plymouth supporters page, which I follow, and it was a lot of disappointed Plymouth fans in there. And rightfully so, because we've hyped the Plymouth Raiders up all year. They pick up a huge win last week against the Newcastle Eagles. And the loss against London on Friday, like, that's a loss you can chalk up. Like, you shouldn't be embarrassed about that. You lose on the road to a contender. But you come home to the Glasgow Rocks, who I predicted to finish last, by the way. If you want to be a contender in this league, that is a game that you cannot lose. And mark my words, this is going to be a game that comes back and haunt the Plymouth Raiders down the road. Firstly, you know, let me switch my focus to the Glasgow Rocks. I mean, this is a huge win. And that's one thing that we've talked about. Like, this team, they're young. You know, they're not that talented, but Gareth is on to something. He's instilling character within this group. And we've seen
this. He's a coach, man.
We've seen this this coming, and I got an opportunity to speak to Gareth right before recording, and just to get a little bit of insight into their schedule. So they played Bristol the night before, Saturday night. They left Glasgow at 8 o'clock in the morning and arrived at Bristol at 4 o'clock, you know, 3 hours before tip. Being a player and being, you know, experiencing being on those long trips, I'm not surprised they got mollywopped. And so, you know, when they look at the schedule, knowing that they usually fly to this game, this road trip, but, you know, with COVID and budget, they ended up driving. You know, this is a game that Gareth probably looked on early in the schedule and probably said, this is probably going to be two losses back to back. And so for them to go to Plymouth less than 24 hours later and to get this win, and with Gareth in particular, you know, he went from coach mode to player mode as he played 45 minutes tonight, which is more than the total amount of minutes he played all year. And like you mentioned earlier, hit back-to-back threes, huge threes, by the way. I got to tip my hat off to him. And, you know, I asked him the reason behind his minutes tonight, and he just basically said that he felt like they needed a little bit more offensive firepower. And, boy, did that pay off. So, a huge shout-out to the Glasgow Rocks. And on top of that, which I didn't mention, is they're in lockdown there in Glasgow. So they're missing two training sessions a week, two evening sessions, because the Emirates closed early. So they're missing their weight session and their shooting session. So they got the deck stacked against them. And to pick up a win against a team that we predicted to come away with some silverware is huge.
Yeah, no doubts. I mean, huge disappointment for me. It's my hometown team. I love them. You know, I got big connections with a lot of people in the club. You know, I always want them to do well, but this one will hurt. I saw that London game as a positive. I think you come away from there and you think, we can beat them. You know, in the right environment at the right time, we can beat them. So I thought that they would be energized today. I thought they would come out, make a statement, come to play. And they kind of reverted back to type of what we've seen through the cup competitions, where just really kind of slow starts and then little runs here and there that were just kind of getting them away. And when it kind of came to the third quarter, because there wasn't much fireworks going on, you guys can just skip straight to the fourth quarter and watch overtime, and that's where the magic happened. But in the third quarter, they started to pull away, and I thought, oh, here we go, business as usual. And the Rocks just kept chipping away. And that's where I give Coach Murray just the biggest props. Those guys never dropped their heads. They just kept grinding, kept pushing, kept fighting. Hamilton gets fouled out. And then, hey, guess what? The same issues that I was speaking about earlier. No secondary scorer. Nobody could come through. You know, and Lawrence coming back will help that a great deal. But I still think, to win something this year, they have to go and add a piece. In my opinion, it's a 3-4 or a 3-2 to give them that legitimate contender title, because that right there showed us they are missing something. Hamilton left the game and nobody said, you know what, hey, this is my team. We're at the pavilions. We're at home. We're playing it against a team that we should beat 10 times out of 10. Nobody did that. So what happened is whilst they were all looking around and nobody wanted to take the moment, guess what? The Rocks took the moment. Coach Gareth Murray took the moment. And they can be happy despite an absolutely horrific journey home. They can be happy they went and got 1-1 on that weekend when, like you said, I'm sure Gareth Murray is thinking 0-2. Okay, let's transition into something a little smoother. It's time for the timeless Lasker look back.
In today's episode of the Lasker look back, I show you the history of the Leicester Riders. Rider up. The Leicester Riders were founded in 1967 as the Loughborough All-Stars and are currently known as the oldest professional club. In 1972, they joined the National Basketball League. And in 1980, they were relocated to Leicester, where they were called the Leicester Planters, part of the Walker's Crisp family. Approximately in 1986, they were rebranded into the Leicester Riders, where from 2004 to 2014, they played their games at the John Sanford Center, which we all know too well. Billy Mims was the leading coach during their first piece of silverware, in which they won the cup and the playoffs in the same season in the early 2000s. Their next trophy didn't come until 2012, with head coach Rob Pastranastro leading the side. To this day, they have won a collective 15 overall trophies, and they moved into their beautiful own facility at the Morningside Arena into 2016. And that is today's Lasker look back.
Man, that sets us up nicely into this week's guest. We filmed this just before the weekend started. A fantastic guest. Let's catch up on our chat with Leicester Riders star, Gino Crandell. Okay, welcome to the show, Gino. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
I got to step in and provide a little bit of perspective, Gino. Firstly, I have to wear two hats, right? So I have to wear this media hat. And then also, you know, obviously I'm a player. And usually I wouldn't be sat in a room next to my rival, a Leicester Rider. And then on top of that, you know, we had a little bit of beef on the court. But, you know, for tonight, we're going to push that aside for the betterment of the league. And so welcome to the show, my man.
Sounds good. I appreciate you keeping it civil. Let's keep it civil.
It has already started in the room. But, hey, Gino, I've been excited to get you on. I've been throwing your name in the hat for a little while. So good to get you in the room. In my eyes, this is one of the most exciting Leicester Rider teams that I've seen Coach P put together. The aim of the game for this franchise is always to win trophies. How would you evaluate the season so far for yourself and the team? And then what do you think that you guys are going to need moving forward in order to put silverware in the trophy cabinet?
Yeah, so far I would say the biggest thing for our club has just been kind of just familiarizing ourselves with each other, with what Coach Rob wants, and, you know, kind of just trusting the process in that sense. I think we're a team that's not returning a lot of guys. We're throwing a lot of new guys in and even adding guys as the season has gone on. So just continuing to trust the process with everything in that sense. You know, obviously we're super results oriented, and so is Rob, and he wants to get wins immediately, you know, and he wants to have good performances every night. He's not just satisfied with, you know, a win against a bad team. If they're a bad team, he wants us to put them away early and, you know, kind of show that we're the better club from the jump. But yeah, I'd say the biggest thing so far and the biggest focus, and I think is even something that's probably evident as we're playing, is just making sure guys are familiar with each other and meshing well. And I think that will lend credence later on, hopefully, as we get more familiarized with each other and with the club and with what our systems are going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of what attracted you to this Riders project in the first place? You know, you had a great season in the Czech Republic. So, you know, I'm sure you had some really good offers. What was it that swayed you towards the Riders?
Yeah, I just really like kind of what Coach Rob and then Russell a little bit kind of sold me on what the program was. Just a group of guys that were going to defend, that are consistently, you know, toward the top of the league and are wanting to compete every day. I think that's something that I definitely see in myself, somebody that wants to compete every day and not a guy that's just satisfied with going and playing for, you know, a losing club and getting numbers or anything like that. Like if I'm going to play, I want to be out there trying to win and trying to win championships. And the development aspect, I think Rob has a real kind of knack for letting guys, at least so far in my experience, kind of like grow and explore kind of who I am as a basketball player and put me in situations, one, where I'm going to be successful, and two, also where I might not be as, you know, as developed, and allow me to develop and get work in those spots. And so I've been super appreciative of that. Just a lot of good reviews from a lot of guys I trust saying that the Riders are, you know, a club that I would want to be a part of. So kind of listened to all of that and took it in.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that rope being lengthened as, you know, as we look back at your last game against Surrey. Obviously, we've seen the highlights of you dancing on Skylar White, and then, you know, you're throwing the ball Jelly. Off the glass to Jamel Anderson. So it's great to, you know, that you're able to kind of put your stamp on the game there. But if we kind of rewind back a little bit to your college career, which was not that long ago if you compare it to mine, but you were a two-time All Big Sky, and obviously you had two great seasons at the University of North Dakota. But your senior year, you transferred to Gonzaga. So can you just kind of take us a little bit behind the scenes? What was the motivation behind that move your senior year?
Yeah, so at North Dakota, I mean, I was there for 4 years, redshirted my first year, thankfully, because the team was really bad, and I would have been really upset if I wasted a year on a club that won 8 games. But you know, my sophomore year, my redshirt freshman year, excuse me, my first year playing, we kind of had a team of a bunch of new guys, bunch of transfers, bunch of freshmen, and just was a building process. And then my sophomore, my second year playing, we were you know, the best team in our conference, made the NCAA tournament for the first time in school history. It was, you know, like just the highest of highs. And then going into my junior year, we lost a lot of guys to transfers, lost a few key guys graduating, and then a couple guys who grad transferred and ended up moving on to other programs. And we kind of took a step back from the success that we had had, and I felt like just the direction of the program and like what the coaches seen, what they were wanting moving forward, didn't really align with what I wanted for myself and like for my career at the time. And so we just kind of mutually agreed that it was probably best if we parted ways. And then when it came down to choosing schools, I just, again, similar to me wanting to come over here and play for the Riders, I just wanted to play for a program that was going to compete at the highest level for championships. And I thought I had a really good chance with that at Gonzaga. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. But that's the thing about basketball, you know, you win some, you lose some, and you kind of just, you know, take it with believing that you left your best out there. But yeah, it was just a situation where I wanted to compete for championships and where I wanted to be placed in front of the best players every day and play for the best coaches every day. And I think my growth from, even though my numbers took a big hit, my growth from my last year at North Dakota to the end of my 1 year at Gonzaga was like, I was a completely different player.
Right. Yeah. And when I saw that, that's the first thing that I kind of assumed. I was like, you know, you just wanted to test yourself against higher competition. But, you know, you play for Coach Mark Few, who built that program from a mid-major to now. I don't think anybody views Gonzaga as a mid-major anymore. They're one of the best teams in college basketball, and he's viewed as one of the top coaches. What makes him so special?
I think he is a really easy guy to play for. I mean, he comes out and he tells you exactly what he thinks of you, exactly what he expects day in and day out. And he's not like, you know, one of those traditional, like, hard-nosed guys that's just in your face yelling and pushing all the time. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I've played for those kind of coaches too, and I believe they've also brought something out of me. But playing for Coach Few is just, I don't know, he just has a way of bringing the best out of guys and the way of kind of making you expect more for yourself. You know, he's never satisfied with anything. And then, you know, kind of just being around that every day, you grow to not be satisfied. You know, if you're in the gym and you're supposed to finish a workout with, you know, 10 makes in a row, you know, he's not going to want you to stop after you've hit 10 in a row. He'll just want you to keep going, see how many more you can get. And it kind of just rubs off. You know, he's one of the smartest basketball guys I've ever been around, just the way he can see the game and break it down. And I think that kind of is a big reason why he's been able to build, you know, Gonzaga into being such a successful program, because he kind of instills that way of seeing the game into everybody. You know, so it makes it really easy when you got five guys who are out there that they can think the game, not only just be out there, you know, running around, dunking and whatnot.
Oh, I love it. And I think one of the things that I'm a little bit disappointed you didn't recognize the hat. I said to Drew before I came in, he was either going to go nuts or he was just going to say nothing. He didn't recognize it. But I tell you what, it kind of backfired on me a little bit because I was trying to do research to see if we got any wins over you guys. And it wasn't happening when you were there. So I had to leave it alone and leave it out of the script. But I want to change kind of pace a little bit. So what's been fascinating me since starting this pod is this real shift in eras. So at the time I was playing professionally, you would be heavily criticized or accused of not focusing on your job if you talked about anything other than basketball. You know, but now there's such an exciting entrepreneurial side coming out across the league that is being celebrated, you know, which is just amazing to see. Starts with my man right there in the hot seat, you know, Drew Lasker, professional player right now. He coaches clothing line, Sky Sports, a media company. I don't know when he sleeps, to be fair. You know, the second best podcaster in the country, you know. I'm seeing people like Kieran Achara, Mike Tuck on the Sky Sports now. We spoke to Lavelle Cook about his clothing line. So, Gino, tell us about the Broken Hearts Club. You know, what is it? How did it come about? And is this something that you're thinking about as life after basketball?
Yeah, so it kind of started just – I had originally started school in college for graphic design and just kind of the hours that they wanted us to put in with some of the, like, traditional art styles just didn't mesh with my schedule. You know, they would have, you know, live models in that we're supposed to paint on a Wednesday. And, you know, I'm, you know, in Florida or something for a game. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of athletes in their program. So they didn't really know how to, like, deal with it. It was hard to make stuff up. And I ended up kind of falling behind, you know, getting C's and D's and stuff. And I was just like, you know, let me put that on the back burner. I'll just go and, you know, get an easier degree. But it's always been something that I've been kind of passionate about. I've always enjoyed, you know, putting graphics together. I've always kind of seen things from a graphic perspective, whether it's me looking at, you know, a box of cereal and saying, hey, I really like how this box is designed, which is crazy. Nobody thinks about that. You're just like, man, the cereal looks good. But, yeah, and then so just with all this time in, you know, in lockdown and just this kind of post-COVID world, it's provided a lot of downtime, I think, for a lot of guys. And I think me personally, I've seen a lot of stuff pop out that a lot of guys are doing with their free time. I think it's given us a ton of free time. And, you know, while I was back home in the States, I kind of got back into doing a lot of graphic stuff. And, you know, just once I got over here, I actually didn't start the brand until I got over here and was just practicing. You know, we practice for maybe we're in the gym 3 or 4 hours a day. And I would just be putting graphics together. And then I had people like, man, that's cool. Like, you should put it on a shirt or something. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like people wouldn't, you know, buy nothing I'm doing. And then, so I kind of just put out like some feelers on social media just to see like, you know, what the temperature was, were people interested. And I kind of liked the feedback that I was getting. And so I really just kind of started it on a whim, you know, as a way of, you know, having a platform for my designs, you know, somewhere to put the designs that I'm making, as well as just getting practice in designing different things. Because like when you're doing, you know, clothing and shirts, and you can't just throw the same thing on everything you're wearing or everything you're making, or people are just going to buy one and be done with it. And that's not very cost effective right there. So just using it to get a lot of practice with that. And, you know, using it to make stuff that I want to wear. I get a bunch of the shirts sent here for myself. And it's been really fun so far. And it kind of engages a different, you know, piece of the brain. And one, having to design this stuff, but then two, trying to figure out the business side of it. You know, how do I market these things? How do I drive, you know, how do I create leads and create sales and drive traffic into my site? How do I make myself stand out from this person? You know, what's logistical shipping wise? What works best for me packaging wise? So just it's been cool to kind of get to do all that. And it takes your mind off basketball a little bit, but it's just something to do when you're not on the court, really.
Yeah. I mean, it looks great, man. I had a look around your website and, you know, for you just to get started and kind of compared to myself when I got started, man, you're stratospheres ahead of where I was. But just to plug it for our listeners out there, what's the website again?
Yeah. So the website is www.welcometoheartbreak.com. And then, yeah, we've got everything that we've got currently is up on the site, available for sale. We've got international shipping, free shipping within the U.S. So, yeah, just trying to do as much as I can with that.
You classify it as like as a fashion brand? Is that where you would put it, like a fashion creative?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, my main focus is just, for the most part, is graphic t-shirts and graphic hoodies and things. I'm not too much into, you know, the cut and sew and different, you know, fabrics and all of that. As of yet, I'm still getting started, and that's kind of felt like the easiest, most cost-effective way to go, is just finding the highest print quality versus doing all this stitching and all this other stuff. So for now, we'll see what it grows into. I do like clothes. I love, you know, getting dressed. I love every opportunity I get to dress up and not just wear sweats and t-shirts all over the place. So we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, that's it. Any excuse to dress up, because as you said, we're usually just in sweats. So it's good to get out every now and again. Okay, so let's get to the important stuff. So I am big on being in the Christmas spirit. So I'm pulling you both into a little game. Drew knows I like to put these in every so often, my little top five games. We are going to be picking our top five Christmas movies of all time. As per usual, Gino as our guest will pick first. Then the winner will have the honor of having the most Christmas cheer. So I am going to put a vote out on social media. We haven't done this with the other fives. We're going to put a vote out and see what we're going to do here. So, top five Christmas movies. Gino, you've got first pick on the board. Off you go, my friend.
Yeah, first pick, I got to go National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Oh. It's my all-time favorite.
Really? Good choice. Great choice.
All-time favorite.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
What? Goodness me. I'm going to guarantee you right here, right now, we are going to be having to write out a list for Drew. Okay? I'm not convinced this is his game. But Drew, go ahead and go second.
Every since I got with my wife, which was 12 years ago, I stopped watching movies because she didn't watch movies, man. But I'm going to go with an all-time classic, Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? Who hasn't seen that?
Great choice to get off the board early. Okay, I'm going to start off with a controversial pick, because there will be people saying this is not a Christmas movie, but I'm telling you, this is a Christmas movie, okay? I'm going with Die Hard. Bruce Willis, okay? I'm taking it off the board. Christmas movie. Don't care what anybody says. I'm locking it in as my first pick. Okay, Gino, second pick.
All right, back to me. I'm going to have to go Santa Claus with Tim Allen. Yeah.
Yes, Tim Allen, classic. You're killing me.
Santa Claus. Classic.
All right, yeah. I better cross it out of my list. Dang it. You're killing my list, Gino. Okay, Drew.
I'm going to go with the dark horse, Friday After Next with Ice Cube.
Okay. Okay.
Good
okay.
Choice,
Everyone loves that movie.
Yeah, I'll let you have that one. I can't believe Gino took the Santa Claus. I can't believe it. I wasn't expecting this. Okay, so my second pick, I'm going to be a little bit of a romantic here. I'm not sure that you guys would have seen this one. Okay, I'm going with Love Actually. So this is a very British movie. Have you seen this movie before, both of you?
Mm-hmm, yep.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Drew. I am disappointed. I'm not disappointed in you, my friend. I'm disappointed in Mrs. Lasker right now. Mrs. Lasker has not cozied you up with Love Actually. Are you kidding me?
I mean, it sounds more appealing than Die Hard. I mean, I don't anybody dying during Christmas. Like, it's Christmas time.
It's
like,
Bruce
no
Willis.
Die.
It's Bruce Willis.
No
it's snowing.
Die, man.
It's cheesy lines. I can't believe it. Unreal. Okay, Gino, third pick.
All right, back to me. Let's see. I had to pick a good one and try to find the best one I can get before somebody takes it off. All right, Elf. Definitely Elf. Gotta throw Elf in there.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That would have been my wife's pick. It's not high on my list, but it is
that's a great movie, man. I like that one. Well, okay. I'm gonna follow you up with Billy Bob Thornton and Bad Santa.
Right,
good
pick.
One. Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a funny one. Okay, I'm gonna go with a family one right here. So we actually went and did this experience two Christmases ago, and it was amazing. So Drew, take note: the Polar Express. So we went and did the live action one. They had actors and actresses there, and You know, you did the whole thing. It was a great experience. The movie is even better. Polar Express. Okay, Gino, on to you.
All right, you got a controversial one. I'm going to throw a controversial one out there.
Yes.
Tim Burton's Batman Returns. Not a huge Christmas vibe to the movie, but there's a Christmas scene. Danny DeVito as the Penguin is like on TV in front of the huge Christmas tree in Town Square.
I'll give you that one for sure.
Batman Returns.
That's a good pick. We'll let you slide with that one. Well, I'm going to go to one of my all-time favorite actors, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in Jingle All the Way, Old School.
Oh, I didn't even have that on my list.
I wanted that one bad.
That is it. Yeah, that's a good pick right there. We didn't even have
that. I'm not even going to try my Arnold accent.
No, you got it. These accents are making you famous online. You realize this, right? If you want to turn it down, that's okay, but it just means another clip for Drew Lasker. I know you like him.
I'll leave it.
Okay, I am going to... I need to put a good one on the board here because I feel like I'm behind. Okay, I'm going to pick a Muppets Christmas Carol. That's what I'm going to put on the board. I think that's a...
Classic.
A solid pick. Not spectacular, but a solid pick. Okay, Gino, last pick.
All right, my last pick, I am going to have to go with How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The cartoon one, not the Jim Carrey one. The old, super old cartoon one. We used to watch it in school all the time before Christmas break. So that one's a classic to me.
I like the new animated one. That's the one. My youngest
daughter cannot
stop watching it. You need to watch that. It's a good one.
I heard it was good. I'll have to check it out.
The old school one's good too. I like it. Okay, Drew.
This is it, number five.
Yeah, I feel like Gino's winning right now. Batman Returns thing is going to, I think it's going to take off.
Well, I'm gonna finish it up because we do have a mixture of listeners here. So this is for my, you know, my 50s and up crowd here. Gino, you probably never heard of this movie, but I'm going to go with A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, what? No, it was on my list. It was on my list. Yeah, okay. I promise it was on my list.
Okay.
Good pick. What do I finish with here? Okay, I think I'm going to finish with another controversial one because is it a Christmas movie? People can debate it.
Hold on, it's not Menace to Society, is it?
No.
It's a Christmas movie, right? Okay.
Oh, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. You're going to get a lot of people on Twitter, especially. They're going to come at you for this, all right? But I'm going to leave this with a little geeky angle to this. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Very Christmas vibe to some of those scenes, but then it's always on at Christmas. So it just gives me the Christmas feels. I'm finishing out there. I feel like Gino smashed us. I'm not going to lie. I was confident, and he's come out of nowhere and given us some good picks. One last time, Drew, you sure you don't want to do the Arnold impression?
You put me on the spot. I can't even think of what's one of his favorite lines.
What?
That's one of his famous lines. I know I'm going brain dead, man. You put me on the spot.
Come on,
I don't want to mess him up because he's one of my he really is one of my favorite actors. I love
Terminator. Him. You don't want to go with the classic.
I can't. You know what? I'll admit this on the show that growing up, I always got him and Sylvester Stallone confused. So in my head, when I'm thinking about trying to of an Arnold line. I keep wanting to say I fight for me, but that's Sylvester Stallone though. So yeah, I'll leave it. I won't do my guy like that.
He's left it alone. But anyway, we won't keep you much longer, Gino. We're so appreciative for you coming on. Obviously, at the show, we have adopted a new nickname for you. So Tahir Hajat gave us the nickname General Gino. I think in terms of your position and. One of the things I noticed when I was reading up articles about you, a lot of people talk about leadership. And I think for the riders, we talked very early on and Drew said the same thing. You've mentioned it today as well. It's a fairly new team coming together. So it is going to need a leader. And I'm calling it right now General Gino, taking you guys to some kind of trophy. Anyway, thank you for playing along with our Christmas game. We will see who wins. I've got a feeling it's going to be you, Gino. So I'm disappointed. I'm competitive, but best of luck for the season, buddy. I'm sure we'll cross paths again. And thanks so much for your time.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys a lot. I appreciate it. Drew, good luck with the rest of the year. And Jay, good luck with the show, man. I appreciate everything.
You can stop. You can guys stop being civil now.
Hey, I'll see you on the court, man.
For sure.
We see each other a lot. Eagles and Riders, we see each other at least 7-8 times during the year. So I'll see you a lot this year, man.
Absolutely. It's good towards the end.
Stay healthy.
Good luck. Sure. See ya.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
No doubt. Bye, Gino. Drew, that might have been my favorite guest so far. Very engaging. Thanks again, Gino. I need to also point out I screwed up in the Christmas game. How did I not get the Gremlins in there?
Ooh.
What a donut. Probably too late to change my mind now. So moving on. Okay. Player of the week. Here are our candidates. Get your votes in on the Twitter poll. I will start the first two. Martin Boutnek, 29 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and a 33 index for the Wolves floor general. DeAndre Liggins, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, 4 steals for a 34 index. Over to you, Drew.
And the next two players on our list are Bristol Flyers, Marcus Delpech, who firstly picked up a mollywhopping of the Glasgow Rocks, but he starred in which he scored 32 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist with a 29 index. And finally, to wrap up our candidates for the BBL Show Player of the Week, we have my teammate, Newcastle Eagle, Justin Gordon, who had a sick windmill tonight. He finished with 28 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 steals with a 32 index.
Very nice. Don't forget, vote on the Twitter poll every Monday. Hearing that from me right now is relatively useless, but you should know that by now. Predictions will be released during the week for another exciting week of BBL action. You will see our bobbleheads as we go to war. Drew did guarantee that he would have the 1-point lead after this weekend. I'm not entirely sure of the scores, nor do I want to be that person that rubs it in. Another episode in the bag. Don't forget to engage with us using the hashtag #TheBBLShow. Drew, lead us out.
Guys, Christmas is around the corner, and your guys here at the BBL Show, if you want to, bless Jay and I with any Christmas gifts, we would love your donations to help towards the resources of this show. As in 2021, we want to take this show to another level. So we want to improve our overall production. We want to upgrade the mics and just everything around the show, just to make your experience a little bit better. And also, we're looking for any sponsors for the Marriott Minute and the Lasker Look Back. So if you're interested in that, get in touch at drew@drewlasker.com. But make sure you guys tune in to Game 3 of our Sky Sports feature. This Friday, we have the Leicester Riders hosting the Bristol Flyers, which looks like it's going to be a fantastic game. So, again, we'll see you guys next week as we bring on Worcester Wolves star Jordan Williams. And until next time, guys, we're out of this thing. Signing off. The show.
The show, baby. Thanks for listening to the BBL Show. The BBL Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your hosts, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBL on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.